So we talked to Brian Brick at the beginning of the hour about you. I want to give you a chance to talk about Brian. When you were with the Marlies and Brian was running the Leafs, and we all remember the commercial, the one-way ticket to Peoria, how much of an interaction would you have with Brian Brick on a daily basis?
Well, number one, thanks for having me, and I greatly appreciate it. It gets me to talk a little hockey here while I'm sequestered in our home. Going back to those days, I will say this about Berkey. He was unbelievably inclusive. The amount of education I was able to get there by being allowed to be in on July 1st, of being allowed to be in and have a voice on trade deadline day. Who do we need to get for the Marlies? Like, all of that, it was amazing the education I got watching these guys sign people, trade for people. It was incredible. Berkey laid down his guidelines for the coach early, and then he just let me do my job. And he would suggest things always by the way of, hey, have you ever thought of this? And it didn't mean that he was right. He was just asking the question. So that was all the good stuff. The one thing about Berkey, he loves the rink. And on game days, the routine was if we were playing and he was in town, like he was in my office, like, three and a half hours before the game. And he'd come in there and we would talk and, you know, kick the crap around. And back then, I don't know if you're still chewing, but he'd have his chew cup there with his chewing tobacco. And I noticed early he came in the first couple times and he left his cup when he'd go upstairs in my office. And it just grossed me out. So I said to him, I asked him, I go, can you please, when you're in my office, just throw that thing in the garbage? And that was the worst thing I ever did, because from then on, every time he was in my office, he would leave that stinking chew cup in there on purpose. Now, it drove me crazy.
Now, Dallas, you tell these guys, too, about how you insisted that I use the washroom every night.
Yeah, that was always a good one, too, because the way the offices were set up, like you could basically duck into my office in Toronto there, and the players would never know you were there. So as soon as we were down and – you know, we got our meeting done before, I'd always ask Brick, I go, hey, just walk down the dressing room and get yourself a piece of gum or a coffee or something. And it was all staged, but Berkey would stroll down there, and then suddenly they see the big boss is there. And I always liked that as when I played. I love when I saw the big boss there. I just felt that you focused a little more, maybe there's a little bit more on the line. And Berkey would go down there, grab a piece of gum or a coffee, and then stroll back up. And then word would have traveled quickly that the boss was there. And it usually worked out well for our game.
Berkey?
Yeah, we had a good team. So tell us a little bit about coaching Nazem Kadri as a young man.
Ah. Well, I'll tell you what. It's amazing. You don't realize it when you're in it. It's always great to, I think, look back and take stock. But Naz is one of these players that he really helped develop me as a coach. And I'm always going to be grateful for that. And, you know, Naz, you know, he had his thoughts on how he wanted to play. He had his thoughts on how he was going to train. And I had different thoughts, and our organization had different thoughts. And I'll tell you what, it was a push and a pull. With that young man. But I always say this about Ness, like as he was developing better habits, he was a guy you wanted on your bench. He was a guy that understood what was going on in the game. And he had this uncanny ability as a very young player. If we were maybe not in it, he would bring us all into the fight. He would bring us all into the fight. He'd run out of position and tag somebody with a big hit. He'd be in a verbal war, it seemed like, every night with the other team's top player or their tough guy. Like, he was unbelievable at bringing our team into the fight. And you know what? He was a young man. And we've all done things that were right and wrong as young men. But it's interesting. I saw him in Colorado not long ago, and we had a great chat. And we've kept in touch over the years, and it's as much as it seemed like trying times, that young man has turned into a hell of a hockey player, and I'm extremely proud of him.
So I think what you're talking about here is that accountability. So Your experience with, you know, dealing with Naz and players at Edmonton, did that accountability, did you bring that to Anaheim here, or did it teach you to sort of maybe take your foot off the gas a bit? Because, again, I do remember in the media, you're sort of catching a little flack. I think a lot of it was unwarranted, but I think you were just trying to preach that accountability, especially to the younger guys.
Yeah, you know what? It's a fine line. And, you know, if we go back to the thing with Naz, I was actually trying to protect him on that day. Everything got blown out of proportion there. And the one thing I learned there is it's probably not wise to say much negative about anybody in the press. I took that into Edmonton, and I ended up taking it on personally because I just refused to say anything negative about one of our players. I did my best to protect them, and that's my job. And now into Anaheim, I think you just kind of keep growing. And so when it comes to the accountability part, I don't think fans or even sometimes the media sees it. They don't need to see it. They don't need to know what's going on behind closed doors. And so what I've learned over the years is all the accountability, that you just keep it in-house. No one needs to know. It's no one's business other than the staff and the boss and the players that are in that room. And it's interesting. And it's different. It's really interesting, the difference in the markets. I can go out here at practice, and I can do a few laps and skate to, let's take Ryan Getzlaff. And I might be talking to him about his kids. Now, if I did a couple hot laps in Toronto or in Edmonton with a player during practice, I knew I was going to get asked about that the next day. And so you learn to refrain from even talking to players on the ice, because it's just going to open up questions on, hey, what were you talking to him about? And in the end, I don't think it's really that much of anybody's business.